Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you guys braved everything and came this morning. It's going to be a powerful morning this morning. Just a couple of announcements. Just so you know, we are paying attention to everything that's going on. We are listening with Sanctuary, working with Sanctuary, and Sanctuary, the church, is following Cobb County. So y'all just know we're going to send out updates if for some reason Sanctuary is closed, which they are not looking to close. But if for something, we're just going to keep watch. So every Thursday, just keep an eye on social media, your emails, and we will, if for some reason we're not going to meet because everything, they just want everybody just to stay home for a little bit, we will. I hate to do that, but our session, we will probably end up having 8 weeks instead of our 12 weeks if that happens. So we're just going to trust. So just so you guys know, just be kind of watching. Do y'all, if you have Instagram or Facebook, please make sure you're following us. I did a story on Instagram. Who saw my story yesterday on Instagram? Okay, if you have Instagram, I just kind of was just reminding everybody, and that's a good way for me to communicate with you guys. So if you have Instagram and if you have Facebook, make sure you're following Moms with Swords, because a lot of our stuff goes through that avenue. Okay, just a couple of announcements. Still, if you need your shirt, if you haven't picked it up, there's a few more left of our new shirt. And then our Young Lives, we have an update for our Young Lives. You guys know we are partnering with them. We have an amazing update for you guys. So as of last Thursday, you can see what God has done in that situation. That is amazing. We had a $400 donation last week, and they just spiraled. Katya said she was getting Venmos all through the morning. So that is amazing. So we're still far from our goal, but hey, we did all that literally. We came into last week with like $100, and that was 1 week. So I just believe this is going to be a no-brainer. So it's going to be a little trickier if we don't meet, but you know what? God is still good, and we're done. So it's going to be a good morning. So, but this is our goal. We want to send 10 girls and their babies to camp. So we need $6,500. So I'm believing by April 30th, which is our last Moms with Swords of the session, we're going to be able to hand Katya a check. So, okay, with that note, so still we have donations. We have a little thing, but it's just not here. It's back there. We'll get it. So if you have cash or a check and you want to leave that, we're going to have our little donation thing right here. you can write them out to Moms, to Frontline Family Ministry. And then in the little note, put Young Lives Camp. So we will know all that money is filtering straight to Katya. Y'all have the Venmo. If you have your emails on Friday, Michelle has given you all the information. You can Venmo the money, but let's make sure we're doing that. If you want to do it in your small group, as a small group, if you want to all give, that's great. Let's just, however we need to get it, let's get it. Okay, so we do not have Jessica today, but it's actually worked out good because I found this song. Actually, they just wrote it last week and they put it out. And let me just go ahead and warn you, I don't know if I'm going to teach today, because I really feel God is wanting us to pray because of all that's going on and going around. And I'm just going to trust him, because this happened like last night at 9:00. I'm texting my team saying, okay, which they know. Thank you, Michelle. They know when you deal with me, I'm going to listen. And if God says, y'all stand on your head for 2 hours, guess what you're going to do? That's just kind of how I roll. So I was like, Ann, can you upload this video? And precious Ann worked on this and got this uploaded for y'all. So we're going to worship with Elevation Church, which is really probably one of my favorite pastors is out of that. One of my favorite pastors that I listen to is his church. They wrote this song, and I just felt it was so appropriate for where we are as a ministry. Our mission is a ministry. Where we are as a country, as a nation, where so many of our heads are. I just really want you guys to participate. I know it's a video, it's weird, But I just really want this to be our worship time, and then we're going to move into a little bit of prayer time, and we're just going to see what Jesus does. So if you would just stand, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to sit down, and we're going to watch this video and just participate with Elevation Worship. So let's just pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you that there have been so many prayers already prayed on behalf of this morning. God, have your way in this room. Have your way over these next 2 hours, God. Man, God, I got a word for these mamas, but God, your word trumps my word. Your word trumps my word. So your way trumps my plan. So Jesus, have your way over these next moments and time. God, would you just calm hearts? Would you abolish fear? Would you demolish everything that is setting itself up against what we know to be true of our God? Would you demolish it? And in this room, God, may our lips speak only of praise, not of fear and anxiousness and worry, but of praise to our God, because you are so faithful, so good. You are not taken by, like, this virus has not taken you by, like, surprise. You are still on your throne. God, you are still doing a great work. You are still a God worth putting our faith in. You are still today our refuge. You've still given us your word. And God, you're faithful and true. So today, God, may our lips speak of that. And may we lift the name of Jesus high today. Lift the name of Jesus high. Fear be silenced in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Again, if you came in here, I say it all the time, if you came in here like Barney Fife, I pray some Dwayne Johnsons are walking out of this room. Get your hand sanitizer and your Bible. It's all good. Perception. Perception is the process or state of being aware of something. The capacity for such insight or knowledge. The process of perceiving something with the senses. And pondering, a little different, to consider something deeply and thoroughly, to meditate, to weigh carefully in the mind. Some synonyms of this word pondering are reflect, deliberate, weigh. So reflect, to be deliberate or to weigh. Pondering takes time, and perception takes a willingness. Pondering takes time, and perception takes a willingness. One of my favorite scriptures, because my personality, Jesus uses this scripture often in Luke about pondering, very familiar Christmas scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them. So she considered them deeply and thoroughly. She meditated. She weighed carefully in her mind, in her heart. In a world of everybody wanting to Facebook and Instagram everything, telephone, tele-Facebook, tele-Instagram, tele-Twitter, we got every kind of thing. The Lord uses this for me, like, no joy. That's, you know, especially in a public ministry, like, there's so many words that God gives me, and often I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. But sometimes the Lord's like, that's just for you. That's just for you. Pondering takes time. Perception takes a willingness. So these last couple weeks, and I try not to, but I do. I really try not too hard, and I try to win. If any of you are in a public setting and you do anything in a public setting, if you do anything, what is the first thing you do when you leave whatever you've just done or if you've had to pray in front of somebody or speak in front of a PTA group, what's the first thing you do when you walk off? Question yourself. What'd you say? Reflect. And go, well, gosh. Well, have any of you ever done this? I just got way too fired up. I'm like, woo, I got really fired up last week. I'm like, Michelle put something on. I was like, oh, Lord, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it. I've been getting really fired up because, y'all, faith is just something I just think is lacking in the body in general these days. I just think we're lacking this faith. Not that God's going to be our genie and do what we want, but I just believe we're lacking the faith. Stephen Furtick said this in a message I was listening to, just the faith in who God is. And as we know who God is, that will automatically, a byproduct will be faith. And I just think we've got mamas particularly that don't know who God is, so therefore they don't have the faith to believe that God can do what they don't think he can do. So I just, faith gets me fired up. I just, there's just something in me that just, I want it to arise in you. I just want you to know how good your God is to even believe. I was circled up with some kids, y'all. This just broke my heart. I was circled up with, I'm not going to give that much. Thank you, Lord. Ponder that just for me. I was circled up with some kids, and I'll just say they were 15. And this is what came out of one of these little girls' mouths. Jesus, we know you can't take our burden away, but we just pray your will be done. I mean, I had to stop the preacher in me because, y'all, we know you can't take our burden away. Okay, Matthew, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy. Right? Like, but that is, I just believe we've been taught that God can't. And I want to tell you, God can. He might not. He may choose not to. But he can. There's one other thing that I get really fired up about. I'm going to try not to get as fired up this week as I have the last few weeks because I've been just trying to build this foundation. And some of these old teachings, when I redo them, I'm like, wow, that's just, whoo. Today is going to be way more practical. You're probably going to take a lot of notes because it's really going to be where you are. And I will try not to get as fired up, but you know that's not going to happen. There's something else I don't think is taught enough about. I don't think we talk enough about it. Faith is definitely one of those. And another thing is sin. Sin. Terrible word. So I want to ask you, Mom, have you ever thought to pray for your child's sin to be exposed? Have you ever thought? If you've been at Moms of Swords, you've probably thought that because I've said it a couple times. God, expose the sin in my kids' hearts, because while they're under our roof, it's a lot easier to tend to. Expose the sin, the pride, the disobedience, the disrespect, the dishonesty. Remember, pondering takes time, but perception takes a willingness. Are you willing, if God exposes it, to see it? You know, some of you grew up like I did, and you had your mom saying, I got eyes in the back of my head. I will always find out. Or my mama used to tell my sister, she's not here today, she's at a doctor's appointment. She used to always tell my sister, listen, you can't do anything that I have A, not done, or B, thought of doing. Any of you ever grow up with a mama that said that? And listen, honestly, we house the Holy Spirit, and I tell my kids all the time, he's going to tell me. He's going to expose it because I pray that he would expose it. Sophie Kate, I didn't give her a Snapchat. She's freshman in high school, and she was the only one without Snapchat. Oh, my gosh, you won't give me Snapchat. And she said, and I was just trying to revisit that rule and understand why I might, you know, revisit this. She told me something, and I thought, wow. She said, Mom, everybody says, why don't you just get Snapchat? Your mom will never find out. Sophie Kate's like, oh, no, my mama will find out. I said, I will. Y'all, if we allow God to expose the sin in our kids' camps and their hearts, let me tell you, it is so much easier while they're under our roof for us to deal with. God allows us to perceive so much stuff if we're willing. Some of my most, the best times to see it, for those of you who homeschool, I know that we hat off to you because you are so. For those of us with kids in school, the summer. How many of you, it's a Christmas song, but, and mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again. I mean, that's sometimes those us moms that don't homeschool, in the summer, some of us are singing that at the end. Because we're with them all the time, right? And I always love summers because they're hard, but they're so good because it's such a great time for me to see what's going on in the hearts of my kid. And now we're in that season where they're usually around a lot of kids too. So then I see really what's going on in the hearts of my kids because you get them around their friends, you can really see what's in there. Nehemiah knew that Israel's plight was critical and it had been brought to his attention for a reason. May that be our motto. Our child's heart condition is in a critical state. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, even your 2-year-old's heart. It's deceitful. And may we be like Nehemiah. May God bring it to our attention, and may we deal with it accordingly. May we deeply ponder, but more than anything, may we be willing to perceive it. How would our kids benefit if we made time to really think about their character, what we're seeing in the Chick-fil-A play place? Why do they always hit kids? Why are they always trying to be the boss? What if we took that and really weighed it out? Why? Why? Because I can guarantee you, and we're moms, come on, confess, we're really guilty. You say, oh, God's going to use that as a strength. But let me tell you something, the devil is going to use it as a weakness. So if you're going to say, oh, God's going to use, I know she's just bossy, she's just in charge, and that is such a great trait. Yes, it is. But let me tell you something, I got one of those. And on the other side of that is pride. On the other side of that, control. Not my Sydney. I call her out, she ain't even here. My kids know I call them all out all the time. John Williams like, Mom, I know you talked about me today and I know it wasn't good. I'm like, buddy, they know how much I love you and I say it all the time, I want to kiss your face off, but yes, you complain all the time. But y'all, my Sid, she's the boss. She is, and she is a leader like none other. But y'all, as her mama, on the other side of that is pride and control. So I have had 18 years to chip away at it and to apply this word to that sin spot. I can do. Because listen, I know some of you wear this shirt, and I'm not dogging you out if you wear this shirt. Be a good human. If you've got a shirt, that's good. That's true. I agree, okay? Listen, don't write me an email. I agree with that shirt. But can I just tell you, the world needs more than a good human. This dark world needs righteous children. This dark world needs holy children. Kids that are radically running after the heart of the Father. So I want more than just when Sydney leaves in August to say, oh, she's a good girl. Man, I want to say, God, she's your girl. And she's running after the things of you. We got to be willing to perceive it. I remember the first time I caught Sydney in a snare of sin. She was in seventh grade. Anybody have a seventh grader? Okay, let me tell you what to look for. No, she must have been eighth grade. When are you 13? Whenever you're 13, because I just given her Instagram. I know some of you do not like Instagram for kids. And listen, I applaud you. And I love that. But I gave her Instagram at 13. You know, I had all the passwords, whatever. And I remember, I mean, again, I pray, God, find my kid's sin out. We were going to John Williams, had this little kindergarten thing or something. I can't remember what grade he was in. He's 6 years different, so do the math. I'm not a math girl. He was at some play. Well, Sydney had her phone. She got her phone, and it was left open. And she ran in to get something, and it was on Instagram and these DMs, which I didn't even know that existed. So, see, God exposed two sins at one time. And I just looked down, and I saw, so your mom doesn't know that we're boyfriend and girlfriend? And see, I pride myself. Some of you mamas are so, it's hard for you to be mean. Oh, it's really easy for me. Oh, Sydney came to the car. I couldn't wait. Her face. I said, Sydney, how's Noah? She said, he's good. I said, so he's your boyfriend? White. White. I'll always find out. Or there was a time when Sophie Kate came downstairs, my little Sophie Kate, my little quiet, my middle child, introvert, sneaky. She's so easygoing. If you have one of these, oh, they're so easygoing. They just go with the flow. God's good. They're just so sweet. On the other side of that is sneaky, hiding. Are you willing? So if Kate bounced downstairs and I don't know, again, if you've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit, and listen to that little Holy Spirit in you. Silly, but it wasn't her breath, that I promise, it wasn't her breath, but I was like, Sophie, did you brush your teeth? I don't know what it was. Maybe she had a harder time brushing her teeth. I don't know. I can't remember. And she said, yes. And there was just something in me that was like, So she goes doing something. I march myself upstairs and I touch her toothbrush. And it is dry. And I bring the toothbrush downstairs and I say, Sophie, did you brush your teeth? White. I'll always find out. So she had to write me a little apology letter. And I forgot to look for it because I've kept all my kids, because that's something I do when my kids, especially the little ones, if you don't do that, it's a great little thing. I make them write an apology letter. So she wrote me an apology letter. It was really sweet. But I remember calling my mentor going, oh my God. Sid has just lied to me. And I'm like shocked. And she's like, Joy, she'll probably do it again. My kid has sinned. My gosh, my kid has sinned. Moms, are you willing for God to expose the sin in your camp? I've got a hair. There, I got it. There's a good story, and I'm not going to get into a lot of it at all today, but you'll have to go back. Joshua 7, I'm just going to kind of skim it because it so brings this whole teaching. It is just, it's like the foundation of this teaching. Joshua 7, Jericho has just been taken. I love that God has had us in Joshua. I mean, this is Joshua 4 is where we find about all the 12 stones that we're writing. If you have not been here, we're at the end of this, it's going to be 12 stones with just remembering what God is doing and what God has been to us. So I love that we've been in Joshua a lot. So when God told me to do this teaching, I was like, wow, we're in Joshua again. Joshua 7, Jericho has just been taken. Joshua was chosen by Moses to lead the Israelites. Joshua had authority over the people. Moses gave it to him. Joshua is in charge. He led the Israelites to the promised land. His name, the word Joshua. Anybody have a Joshua in here? Do you know what that word, do you know what his name means? Yes. Deliverer. Deliverer. Pray that over your baby. Believe it to be true of your children. So Joshua 7, verses 1 through 26, I'm just going to kind of skim just a little bit just so you can kind of just know. After Jericho fell, Joshua sent some men to Ai. So Jericho, we all think about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, but there were more battles to come, and this is one of them, Ai. It was a town east of Bethel. To spy out that region of the land, they returned to Joshua with a report. You don't need to send all the people since there are so few defenders in Ai. An army of 2,000 men should be plenty. So Joshua sent 3,000 soldiers to Ai, but they were easily repulsed by the defense, who killed 36 of them and pursued them from the gate even to the descent towards Sherebirim. When the Israelites heard their soldiers had been defeated, their courage melted away like water. When they heard, their courage melted. Guard what you hear so that you can have faith. Guard what you hear. When they heard, their courage melted away. Then Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their robes and fell to the dirt in front of the covenant chest of the Eternal, putting dust on their heads and remaining there till evening. And then Joshua cries out, "Why, Eternal One, why have you brought us across the Jordan only to let the Amorites destroy us? It would be better for us to settle on the other side of the Jordan. Lord, how am I going to explain that our fighting men have run for their lives? The people of Canaan, all the inhabitants of this land, will hear that we have been defeated. They'll surround us and destroy us, a people forever. And then how will the world remember your great name?" And God says, "Get up. What are you doing in the dirt?" There's a simple explanation. Israel has sinned. They have lied and have violated the covenant I gave them by stealing some of the property that should have been destroyed along with the rest of Jericho. And not only lying, hiding it among their own belongings. That is why Israelites no longer resist their enemies. They run from their foes because they are under a curse and doomed for destruction. I will not be with you or fight for you unless these things devoted to the destruction are truly destroyed. So the city of Ai was much smaller than Jericho, yet to possess Jericho, they had to possess Ai. And there's a guy in this story a little bit later on named Achan. Achan is the bad guy. And if you don't believe what you name your child matters, do you know what his name means? His name means troubler. Let's watch what we name our babies, because sometimes they live up to their name. And this guy did. So to see what Achan did, we have to look just a little bit farther down in Joshua. Joshua says, somebody reveals it's Achan. And Joshua says, "My son, I urge you now to show honor and thanksgiving to the Eternal One, the God of Israel, and confess. Tell me what you've done and tell the truth." So Achan, what every mom wants their child to say, "It's true. I'm the one who broke the commandment of the Eternal God. Among the spoils of the city, I found a beautiful Babylonian robe, 5 pounds of silver and 20 ounces of gold. When I saw them, I wanted them so much that I took them. When I saw them, I wanted them so much, and they are hidden in the ground beneath my tent with the silver, buried deeper than the rest." So he's the bad guy. But to know why his sin was so bad, let me take you to Joshua 6, verses 17 through 19. This is why Achan, what he did, was so bad. It says, "Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord." This was what Joshua was telling the people. "Only Rahab and the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, any of the things, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury." Do you see now why it was a big deal? The Israelites were told by their authority, "Don't take anything." This is a biblical version of disobedience. Don't. But they did. Look at verses 20 through 21, when Achan says, once again, "I've sinned. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe, 200 silver coins and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They're hidden in the ground beneath my tent with the silver buried with the rest. Joshua asked him and he tells him the truth. I saw and I wanted. Moms with our kids, each of them individually, we have got to be taking the time, right? The pondering that it's going to take to have the perception that is going to be needed. To know and be aware of the things in the world that they're drawn to. Achan, remember, I saw and I wanted. What are some of the things that you're already seeing in your children that intrigues them? Like my 12-year-old, God's given me the eyes. Like it usually happens. Like again, you can see when they're little for sure. I mean, you know, if they're constantly doing the same thing, there's probably a root issue behind that behavior. But I'm telling you, as they start getting older, you start seeing these patterns and these things that like my little John William, like I can, like he gets real like embarrassed by, you know, the things of, you know, me like telling him things in front of his friends. Like he's starting to get like real, like, you know, almost like, so I bring that scripture and, you know, if you're ashamed of me on earth, I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. I'm like, I'm not hitting him over the head with it, but again, do you see where I'm going? Like God is starting to show me little things that are popping up that's just this allurement that to move him away. I'm starting to ask God, well, I've been asking God, but really now I'm really, God, let me perceive it. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. Those things that are going to maybe lead him down a path of sin. For my Sophie Kate, I've already told you, it's this hiding, this sneaking. She just doesn't like to tell a lot. And so in essence, I tell her, I'm like, Sophie, if you're not really telling me, you're kind of hiding it. So God's given me these eyes to kind of see. So guess what? I'm on top of it. I'm blackhawking it. For all you old moms with swords, we're blackhawking it. So with what I had to do with Sydney, I don't have to do with Sophie and vice versa. What you might have to do for your son, you might not have to do for your daughter. But you got to take the time, mom, to get to know that heart of that son and daughter so you can know what to do. Achan hides the very things he wasn't supposed to take. He buries them in his own words, in the dirt. We're always so prone to hide sin. What did Adam and Eve do once they took the bite of the apple? They hid, right? What did Sophie Kate do when I asked her if she had brushed her teeth? She lied. She was hiding the truth. Something, y'all, so small. I know that seems so small. And you mamas with little babies, you got to get the little. Because I promise you, they will turn big. It's a big thing I tell John William now. Because he's another one, just confessing all about my kids. But my kids are right there with your kids. The other day, John William got caught in a lie. And Todd, he was supposed to be at church with some friends. Y'all, he can't drive. So I don't know why John William went and thought he was going to be in trouble for this, but he went down a whole big road, got big time in trouble. He was with a friend, and Todd's like, so are you at church, buddy? And he's like, yeah. He's like, but I'm in the bathroom. And Todd's like, oh, really? Okay. So Todd said something didn't sit well in his, again, Holy Spirit. So he said, he texted Sophie. Sophie, ping John William's phone, tell me where he's at. Well, he was at this friend's house. So Todd gives him another chance. So, buddy, who's leading worship? Oh, I don't know. I just got in the bathroom. I don't know. I can hear it, but I don't know. So, my poor kids, y'all, they got two parents that are mean. Usually you have a break, but my kids don't have a break. Todd just keeps on and on. Oh, what's Craig teaching about? Well, Dad, I'm pooping. I haven't been in there yet. Terry, don't you tell on him. So then Todd, finally, bam. And Todd's so, he's so much better than I am. He's so like, he's sophisticated. He's calculated. He's methodical. So he found the way to bring the hammer in. And needless to say, little John William got himself in big time trouble. But y'all, he not only was lying, he was hiding. Praise God, it exposed. And I'm like, buddy, if you'll lie about this, then when I ask you if you went to that party or went with those boys that were doing bad choices, having bad choices, are you going to tell me the truth? Y'all, the little things at 12 and 10 and 8 and 6, those little things, we've got to get a hold of them. I've been praying this prayer for 18 years. I've been praying, God, expose it. And y'all, I can guarantee you he's done it. And not only that, but my kids just know it's going to happen. So even, hey, if it works, if they're not doing it because they know I'll find out, well then, if it's not their heart motive yet, it's okay. I'm praying it will be. But hey, if they just know I'm going to find out, I'm okay with that. But I'm praying it to be their heart. We can't hide sin. The big part of this story is verse 13. When Joshua says to Achan, command the people, this is what God's telling Joshua, command the people to purify themselves in the preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, hidden among you, O Israel, are the things set apart for the Lord. You'll never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. One version says, until you remove what is contaminated. Joshua had these 3,000 warriors killed, and he knew there was just something in his heart. He was perceiving that something was different. He was just perceiving something. That's what we got to do. We got to be aware. We got to know when there's just something off in one of our kids. And mom, we got to keep digging until we find out what it is. Don't give up. If something is not settling, that your child is not telling you, or there's just something like, what's wrong? Don't stop. The enemy wants you to. He wants you to give up. He wants you, it's too hard. Just go out with the girls. Go, don't worry about it. It's fine, it's nothing. He's just a teenager, it's gonna happen. Mom, let me tell you, no. Remember last week, you be tenacious. You don't give up. Joshua knew, because what happened? Sin separates. Please know, I want you to find your kid's sin out, not because I want you to expose and tell your kid how bad they are and just bring up this whole spotlight sin. No, I want you to do it because sin separates them. That is what is the foundation that sin does. We're not focusing on the sin, but we're focusing on the separation that happens. John William, when you did that, you stepped out from under God's umbrella of blessing. When you lied, you stepped out from under this blessing of obedience. So I'm not just walking him through his sin, I'm walking him back to grace. I'm walking him back to grace, which is what is so beautiful. When the sin is exposed and it erupts and it's yucky, just like that Mallory was talking about, the big giant zit, you pop it, all that stuff. That's like sin. And the enemy wants you to keep it all in there, right? The enemy doesn't want any of it to be exposed. Because see, that lion, that'll serve him well later on in life. That pride, it'll serve her well. That hiding, that'll serve his plan for my children well. But guess what? Mama is already aware, because I've pondered, I've waited, and I'm perceiving it. And guess what? I'm stepping into action. So get back, devil. I see you. That is what we've got to be doing. That is the purpose of sniffing out. I always call us sin sniffers. like Scooby-Doo, you know, I'm going to sniff it out. I'm going to sniff it out. And then we're going to talk about what it does to the heart of your Father God. And then you're just going to fall back into grace. That night, John William, here's a good thing. He's so tender. He's going to make such a good husband. Todd is always like, he fixes his hair for 35, 40 minutes. I mean, please don't tell him. Carrie, do not. If y'all tell him this. Things you've never thought you would hear your son say, hey, Mom, plug up the curling iron. Please don't ever tell him I curl his hair every morning, y'all, with a curling iron. Don't tell. But he's so sweet. He's tender. He's attentive. He's like sensitive. Like he's so he gets, like when he gets caught, it's just like when I used to have to spank him because, yes, I spank. If you don't spank, it's fine. But he'd be like, show me grace. Show me grace. Show me grace. And it was so hard, but I went through with it. But I'm like, oh, he just cries. And so that night he was so upset. And then he has to try to, because, you know, he's also like, well, I didn't lie about this. And he tries to, you know, he's the third child. And I'm like, but buddy, before I closed his door that night, I said, but buddy, what has Jesus done with that sin? He said, he's washed it white as snow. I love you and good night. Isn't that beautiful, y'all? That's the point. That's the point. Mamas, we just got to take that time to perceive it, to ponder it, asking the Lord to expose it so that we can deal with it. See, Achan and his whole family they were stoned and burned. But y'all, John William, Sophie Kate, Sydney, guess what? It's done. He knew you were going to lie to me. He knew you were going to hide it. And it's already been taken care of. It's already been taken care of. Once and for all. So let's just walk back to grace. But there's something called a snare, guys, if we don't allow ourselves to perceive and ponder. There's something that our kids will find themselves in, and it's a snare, which is a trapping device, something that serves to entangle the unwary, not watchful, not alert. It's a snare. And see, those are pretty easy to get off. But if you don't deal with that, you know what it turns into? A stronghold. Which a stronghold is what Elsa lives in. An ice fortress that I lived in a lot of years because my mama did not know to get at my snares. And at 42 years old, I sat myself in some counseling, and that fortress finally came down. I don't want my children at 40 years old to find themselves in this fortress because I wasn't a mama that wanted to get to their snare. I want to get to their snare. In Jesus' name. May we be mamas who get to the snares before they're a fortress. But take heart, Mom. Listen to me. If your child is in a fortress, I told this to a mom yesterday, there is nothing bigger than the name of Jesus on your tongue for that child. So don't you say, oh, it's too late, they're too old. It's too late. No, it is not. 42. And Jesus has taken that fortress down. So you keep praying, if you've got a baby that's older, that you see this fortress. And you mamas of young ones, don't be afraid to get to the snare. It's much more easy than getting to a fortress. In Jesus' name, amen.